Today's daf is daf chaf. Learn today's daf. For zechus refuah shleimer for all chol Yisrael, including Yitzchak David ben Halamala, Bracha Tzip ben Hindelmala, that makes sense, Bracha Tziril bas Rachel, and Avram Alevi ben Mindel. Hopefully everyone should have a refuah shleima. So we are beginning the Gemara on Rabbi Ginsburg. What's Ari Zev ben Ari? Aryeh Zev ben Edel. Aryeh Zev ben Edel. Okay. I do that by... Where is that? Yeah, this song sounds... I have to record, though. Record to the cloud. Okay. All right, so now it's recording. Okay, so daf chaf. So the Gemara had said, the Mishnah brought down that you cannot cook anything or roast anything Erev Shabbos unless it has reached a certain point, right? With the point that the Mishnah said was Kadeshi Yitzolu Mibiod Yom, that it would be that it would have been roasted already the day before Shabbos started. Some Rabbi Lezer Amarav. So how much Vakama? So the Gemara asks how much at what stage in the cooking process is it considered Yitzolu already? Some Rabbi Lezer Amarav. So as long as it's cooked or roasted the day before Shabbos, the amount that Machal Ben Drusai will come up a few times, especially here and in Ugandan cooking, Machal Ben Drusai, what Rashi says, was a listim. They were a bunch of bandits. And they would eat their food one-third cooked. They were always on the run. So when food was one-third cooked, they would eat it. Other Rishonim say it's one-half cooked. Machlokas and how you determine something is cooked halfway or a third. The Chazon Ish says that basically what you do is that you see how long something's supposed to be cooked. Let's say you're supposed to cook a piece of chicken for an hour, so a third cooked would be that you roasted it, you cooked it for 20 minutes. Others say that you have to actually figure out, look at the inside, but it's one third cook. So we're going to go with one third because that's what Rashi says here. So Itmar Nami, so we have another halacha that was said, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Asi said the name of Yochanan, Kol Shehu Kimacha Ben Drusai, anything that's already been cooked, Macha Ben Drusai, Ein Bo Mishum Bishuli Nachrim. It no longer has the issue of Bishul Nachri. Something that's already cooked, Rashi says, Kol Shehu Mivushul Biyad Yisrael Kimacha Ben Drusai. If a Jew has already cooked something, the amount of Macha Ben Drusai, Shuv Ein Bigomro Mishum Bishuli Nachrim. If a non-Jew takes over and finishes cooking it, then it doesn't have the concept of Bishul Akum. Tanya, and another statement we said with Macha Ben Drusai, Chananya Omer, Chananya says, we'll come with this in the third parak, Kol Shehu B'Macha Ben Drusai, anything that's cooked already, Macha Ben Drusai, Mutter Lahashoso Al Gabi Kira, Afo Pish En Grufa V'Ketuma. You're allowed to leave it on the flame Erev Shabbos. If something's cooked, you're not allowed to leave something on the flame to cook on Erev Shabbos. However, if something's already cooked, then you can leave it on the flame. What is considered that's already cooked that you can leave it on the flame without having to cover it or push the coals to the side? Having to cover the flame or push the coals to the side? That's if it reaches the level of Macha Ben Drusai. Right? Rashi says, Garufu Katam, what does Katam mean? Mefazrim Efer Milmala. You put dust or ashes on top of the flame, kidei lahafik chomo, to limit the heat, shlo yosif hevel b'Shabbos, and as long as it doesn't add heat on Shabbos, zet tafshus kol macha b'drusai, lo yichashin ani mismasha l'hocha b'Shabbos. And if it's cooked at the level of macha b'drusai, then we're not concerned about leaving it on Erev Shabbos, not concerned of leaving it go. So when it comes, a lot of times, when it comes to our challenge, so either some people have, you can't just have it sort of like starting to cook Erev Shabbos, unless it's completely raw, where people throw in a raw piece of meat Erev Shabbos, or if it's, partially cooked already, then you can leave it on the crock pot without having to put the insert, an aluminum insert or a blech in the crock pot. Okay, the Mishnah then said, Ein nosim es hapas, we can't put bread into their oven. Remember, their ovens are these inverted cylinders that are on top of the fire. So in nosim es hapas, you can't put the bread, and you stick the bread into the side of the oven. So the bread can't go in there before Shabbos unless it's going to reach the point of shigi karmu panel mibod yom, unless the face of it gets toasted a little bit, gets hardened. Rabbi Lezer Omer Kadesh Yakrum Atachton Shila. The bottom part has to be browned. So you buy, what's the bottom part? Because remember, you're sticking it on the inside. So is the bottom part the part that's facing the flame, or the bottom part the part that is stuck onto the wall? So you buy, I guess you'd have to then peel it off to know. So you buy lu tachton heyach ha'echt gabi tanor. It's that's the side that's stuck to the oven. Odil mo tachton heyach gabi or. Is it the side that's facing the flame? So Toshma, so learn the price. Rabbi Elazar Omer, kidei sheyikrimu paneh hamidubakim batanur. It has to have this kirmu paneh for the piece, for the side that is stuck to the wall. Right? Rashi says the gabe tanur. He says shakikaros nidbakim bidofne hatanur saviv. The loaves were stuck on the walls of the oven around. Hilchach mibayle high kari tachton. What's considered tachton? The bottom. Hanach panim gabe dofni atanor upanim haponim lamata lechala atanor litzara or. So he said, Rabbi Lazar is going to say that tachton means the piece that's actually stuck to the wall. Then the Mishnah said, even though we're not allowed to leave food roasting on erev Pesach, on erev Shabbos, even though we're not allowed to leave food roasting on erev Shabbos, if erev Shabbos is also erev Pesach, we're allowed to start roasting the korban Pesach. Even and not be concerned about leaving it, not be concerned that you're going to stoke the flames and you can leave it cooking, even though you just start the cooking right away, Erev Pesach. So, my time, what's the reason why they allowed you to start roasting the Korban Pesach so close to the entrance of Shabbos, even though there isn't not enough time that it's going to be roasted the shear of Machal Ben Jusai before Shabbos starts? Why did the Chachamim make this gezerah also here that maybe you'll stoke the coals to increase the heat on the and therefore violate Bishul? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de bnei chavura zerizin heim. Because the people, usually when you have a korban Pesach, there are a lot of people together. And a lot of people together, they're going to remind each other they're a bnei chavura, and they're going to be zariz. They're going to remind each other not to stoke the flame. And I think Rashi said that on the Mishnah. And the Mishnah Rashi says, even though normally you can't do that, hachashari here in the erev Pesach it's mutter. The bnei chabura is reason heim. The bnei chabura are they have alacrity. They're going to remind each other. They're going to remind each other. They're not going to come to stoke the flame. So there's no reason, no place or need for the takana of the rabbanon here. But the Gemara then asks, halav hachi, had it not been for this case of bnei chabura's reason, let's say somebody's alone. For the Korban Pesach, so therefore he could not start roasting at Erev Shabbos. Halav hachilo v'ha'amamar. But didn't we say 2 days ago on Daf Yud Ches we said Gadya, like the kid that we're roasting, which is the Korban Pesach, is the same animal. Bein sharik, bein lo sharik, shapir dami. It's permitted to roast it Erev Shabbos, whether the oven is closed, the oven is not closed, because we're not concerned that you're going to open the oven to check, and because opening the oven to check and then checking, and then when you check, you find that it needs more flame to stoke the coals, because you're not going to check it because any air ruins this dish, so no one's going to check this dish. So that's the same thing for the Pesach. Why would you need this din of Zerizin when it comes to the Korban Pesach? The Korban Pesach is the Gedi, and the Gedi, we said, we're not concerned about Yechata B'Cholim, because no one's going to go check, because it's just the air itself is going to ruin the dish. So Gemara says, Hasam, no, there's a difference. Hasam, by the Gedi that we mentioned over there, it's mintach. It's cut into pieces. But hacha lo mintach. But here, it's not cut into pieces. Therefore, if it's not cut into pieces, people will check, because the air is not going to ruin it. Sorry? People will check when it comes to the Korban Pesach, because it's not cut into pieces. Right? It's rosho al kiryo al kirbo. And therefore, if you open the covering for it to check it, you will not ruin it. Therefore, there's a concern that you will ruin it. So the only reason why we allow you to not, to, the only reason why you allow you to roast it Erev Shabbos, even if it's not Machal Medrusai, is because we have many people around and everyone will remind each other not to stoke the coals. Okay. Then the Mishnah said, Umaachzin esaor bimadur's beis hamoked. You were allowed to light the fire in the beis hamoked. With beis hamoked again was that big fire that was in the beis hamikdash that was used to warm the kohanim. That can be light on erev Shabbos, and we're not concerned that people will try to stoke it and make it go higher on Shabbos. But outside of the Beis Hamikdash, if you want to light a pyre, a whole stick, a bundle of sticks for fire, it has to be Ochez Berubo. The fire, before Shabbos, the fire has to have taken hold of whatever Rove means of the fuel, of the sticks of the fire. So Minahin Emili, how do we know that it's okay to do this in the Beis Hamokid, in the Beis Hamikdash, on Erev Shabbos? So Minahin Emili is difficult language because we're talking about a Takana de Rabbanan. I'm not sure what Minahin Emili means. So Amar Rav Huna says, we learn this as follows. The Pasuk says, Lo Sivaru Eish B'chol Mosh Voseichem B'yom HaShabbos. You're not allowed to set fire in your B'chol Mosh Voseichem, wherever you're sitting on Shabbos. So b'chol mosh voseichem yitam avir, wherever you're sitting, meaning in chutz, out in the gvulin, you're not allowed to set fire. Aval atam avir b'mudur is beis hamokeh, but you're allowed to set fire in the Beis Hamikdash. So Gemara says that doesn't make any sense, because if you're allowed to set fires in the Beis Hamikdash, the Mishnah is only telling us that we're allowed to leave the fire, a small fire, on from Erev Shabbos. If the Pasuk says that you're allowed to start fires in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, so why doesn't the Mishnah just say, don't worry about Erev Shabbos, just light the fire on Shabbos? Maskelim of Chizda, Ihachi, you learn from this pasuk that it's only usher to light a fire in Chutzal Beis HaMikdash, then Afilu B'Shabbos Nami, then even Shabbos itself, you should be allowed to light the fire, to light the wood on fire, because there's no Isser of Havara, of kindling, in the Beis HaMikdash. So Ela Amar of Chizda, Chizda said, no, you're right. The pasuk is not teaching us that. The pasuk is teaching us, Amar of Chizda, Kra Ki Asa L'Mishrei Avarim Upidarim Huda Asa. The Pasuk is coming to teach us that you're allowed to be makdir the Avarim and the Pedarim, you're allowed to be makdir the limbs and the fats that were left over. As Rashi says, from Friday's Karbanos, you're allowed to still burn them on Shabbos. Rashi says, Avarim u'Pedarim hu da'asa, lahatir es hektiron kol alayla. All night, even though it's Shabbos, you can burn these fats and these limbs. Aval madur is beis hamokeh, because that is part of a Karban. So that's tzorich gavoa. But the madura is based on moked. She ain't a tzorah kavoa. The madura, the flame, is not for Hashem. It's el tzorah kohanim. It's only for the kohanim. Lo hutra. That is not permitted to do on Shabbos. All right, so why can you do it on Erev Shabbos? Aren't we afraid that you're going to stoke the coals? He says, because kohanim's reasoning, the kohanim here are zrizim. And here Rashi says, before when it came to the Bnei Chabur, he said zrizim that can remind each other. But here he says the kohanim's reasoning. Rashi says, Shekulam hayu b'nei Torah, they were all b'nei Torah, v'charedim, and they were all charedim, v'niskarim, lasuye mishateshchach. They all know what they're doing, and they're not going to mess up, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. I mean, throughout the second Beis Hamikdash, they weren't such great Talmidei Chachamim and such great Charedim, but the idea being is that there is no Shvus in the Beis Hamikdash because we hold that the Kohanim are Zerizim. But again, it's a different, Rashi gives a different definition of Zerizim by the Kohanim that he does by Zerizim by the Bnei Chabur. By the Bnei Chabur, he says they'll remind each other, and by the Kohanim, he says that that they're just Talmidei Chachamim, they don't have to be, we're not concerned that they'll forget. Okay, then the Mishnah says that outside of the Beis Hamikdash, if you want to light these bonfires on Erev Shabbos, the fire has to attach to Rov, to Ruban. So what's Ruban? My Ruban. What's that shear of Ruban? Every time we have to know, if we know what the shear is. For cooking, we know the shear is Machab HaJusai. So what's Ruban when it comes to these sticks? The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Rov kol Echad v'Echad. Ruban doesn't mean the majority of the sticks. It means the majority of each and every stick. So at least 50% of each stick has to already be on fire. Ushmul Amar, Shmuel gives a different definition of Ruban. Ushmul Amar Kedesha Lo Yomru Have Eitzim Vananiach Tateim. Ushmul says it's enough that Rashi says Kedesha Lo Tzarich Lomar Have Eitzim Dekim Vananiach Tateim Lav Yerseilu. If the fire is enough that you don't need any more firewood, any more wood to come to keep the fire going, which is a nice definition, but it doesn't really work with the word Ruban. I don't know what the word, how that works with Ruban. So Tani Rav Chia Lisiu L'Shmuel. So Rav Chia taught a brisa to support Shmuel. It's just very interesting to have Rav Chia here, because Rabbi Shmuel is a first generation Amora. Rabbi Chia is a last generation Tana. Rabbi Chia, Shmuel was never, Maritz Chayes points out that Shmuel was never in Eretz Yisrael, and Maritz Chayes points out that Rav Chia never left Eretz Yisrael. Rav went back and forth. Rav learned by Rebbe and Rav Chia, and then he went to Bavel. But Shmuel did. So to actually have Rav Chia supporting Shmuel, like Rav Chia heard what Shmuel said, is just interesting because it just seems doesn't work so well chronologically. But Tani Rav Chia l'si l'Shmuel. So Rav Chia brings a brisa to support Shmuel. What's it considered of? It Pasuk says This is the pasuk that says lahalos ner tamid. So what does it mean to light the wicks of the menorah? It's kedei shetei shalheves ola me'aleha, that the shalheves can, the flame can go up by itself. Velo shetei shalheves ola al yedei davar acher. It doesn't need any more support. You don't have to add any more fuel. So the same definition they have there, Shmuel is given by the definition of rov, that rov means here that you won't need any more fuel. The fire has caught enough that it will go on by itself and you don't have to add any more to it. Okay. Now the Gemara asks, what about a person who's light? This was talking about like a fire that has lots of sticks. What about Eitz Yechidi? What if you're lighting one log close to Shabbos? How much of that one log has to be lit before Erev Shabbos in order for you to leave it? So Rav Amar Rov Ovyo, right? Rov of its diameter, the Amri Lo, and some say Rov Hekefo, Rov of its circumference. It has to go, I guess, Rav says it has to go all the way through, and the other one is more makel, I guess, it's to go be lit around, you know, around it, the outside. Amar Rav Papa, so here comes Rav Papa, who always does this, he always combines Shitas, Hilkach, but Ina Rov Ovyo, but Ina Rov Hekefo. You need both. It has to penetrate rove of the diameter, and it has to cover rove of the circumference for the single log. Kitanoi, and the Gemara says this is a machlokas tanoim, right? Because we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Chiya says that the shear that's needed, that the fire has to grab onto one log prior to chashecha, who kedei she yishaches ha'etz mimalechas ha'uman. It has to be enough that this log would no longer be usable for a carpenter, somebody who uses wood, and that is going to be, that's considered when the fire goes, you know, through most of it, through most of the diameter of the log. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir Omer kedei she'teichas ha'esh mishnei tzadim, that it can goes that you that I guess that the fire is. Fire encompasses around the entire log. It goes around both sides. I don't know, a log that doesn't have sides, but it goes around the circumference. It's the same machlokas. V'yafal pishein raya, even though there's no pasuk to give us a raya for this, zeichel adavar, there's a little bit of a raya from a pasuk in Yecheskel. The pasuk says, es shtei kitzosav achla eish, the two sides the fire has consumed, v'socho nachar, and the inside is singed, hayitzlach l'malacha, could it be then used for malacha? Again, so the idea being that if the inside is singed beyond the point that it can be used by the carpenter, and it's been encompassed on both sides by the fire, that's considered that it's on fire, because no longer will that be able to be used for malacha. Okay. Now the Gemara just brings, I'm not sure what the connection is, the Gemara brings a pasuk, which is, talks about when Yehoyakim burnt Megillas Eicha. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's, I guess maybe because we're talking about burning things. It says, Ve'esha ach lefanav mivo eres. And the ach, which is like the brother, what before it was burnt. So the Gemara asks, my ach, what does it mean, this ach that was burnt? So Amar of ach vana, right, so Ach and Achvana, Amar of Achvana, Amar of Achvana, Amar Rav, Achvana. It was a fire. It was like a bonfire made of sticks. Ushmul Amar Eitzim Sheniglu BaAchva. It was like rows of sticks that you lit one and then it burned all the other ones. Again, I'm not sure what that means. Vahuda Amar Lahu Man Boy Achvana. Whoever want that's and. Now we have a source that supports Rav, because Rav says Achvana means that like they're Arava, which I think means like willows. So Ahuda Amarle Manda Bay Achvana, whoever wants to buy Achvana, and we saw that person, you know, Pedro was telling Achvana, it turns out it was Arvata. It was these Eitzim Arava. So you see from here that Achvana means Arava. Okay. Amarav Huna. So now the Gemara brings a Machlokas Tana Amorayim about certain types of fuel. That when I say fuel, it doesn't mean like gas that we have, like the different types of chips or wood that do not need to be completely or lit by rove Erev Shabbos, because we know these things are extremely flammable and no one's going to come on Erev Shabbos to try to enhance the flame. So Amar Rav Huna, Kanim, so these reeds don't need rove, right? But Agadon, if you tie, I guess because they're very flammable and they'll jump for right. Rashi's Ein Sarich Rove. Lahatzis, it's the second wide line on the bottom. Ain't shrichen rov lahatzis es haor beruba me'erev Shabbos ela machiz ben or odyom lefish ain't kovim, they don't go out v'holchim ela dolkim v'holchim, they just continuously burn, so you don't have to, no one's worried that you're going to start stoking the flame there. But agadon, if you put them into bundles, then shrichen rov, Rashi says, because there's no more air in between them now. If you tie them together, the flame can't go through them, and therefore it's going to. Then, if you had the tied bundles of kanim, then you would have to make sure that the fire grabbed rov before Shabbos. Garinim, so these I think are like date seeds. They're very dry, and used to make fires out of them. So again, if they're just spread out, if they're not tied together, ain't shrichim rov. Also, they're very flammable, so we don't have to worry about it. But nisanan b'chosalos, I guess if you put them in these types of baskets, and then you put the baskets in the flame, shrichim rov. Then you'll need rov to catch them, because since the seeds are I guess, close together, then the flame cannot go and get in between them, and it won't be able to light so well, and therefore you'll be concerned that you might stoke them. So Maskifla, Rav Chizda says, no, Adarabba, on the contrary, Itpcha Mistabra, the opposite makes more sense. Kanim reads, Mi Badron. If Kanim Mi Badron, Kanim that are not tied together, and they're spread out, Rashi says, Kanim Mi Badron, the Kan, the Achazam Hena Yotze, Lotim says, Chaver Tilvar. If they're spread out, they're not going to be able to light one from the other. Therefore, those you should be concerned with. But Agadon, Lomi Badron, but they're tied together, you're not going to be concerned, because then one will light the other. And Garinin says the same thing when it comes to these seeds, Mi Badron, if they're spread out, they don't have the access to each other, and they're not going to light. But Nitanam B'chosalos, if you put them together in these Kalim, then they're together, Lomi Badron, they're not spread out, and therefore they'll light one another. So they're going to be, that first Mandamra says, only if they're spread out, not tied. Second Mandamra says, they have to be tied together, not spread out. Now comes the third man, the Amar, Itmar, take out the word Nami, I think, Itmar, another man says, Amar of Kahana, kind of says, he's make a split. Kanim, she'agadon, if the reeds are tied together, then they need rov. Lo agadon, ain't shrichan rov. And they're not tied together, they don't need rov. But garinin, but these seeds, they need rov. Nisanan b'chasolos, ain't no steam rov. He splits it, he says the reeds are a different din than the garinim. If the reeds are tied together, then they need rov. If they're spread out, they don't need rov. But the garinim, they will need rov if they're tied together, if they're not tied together, but if they are tied together, then they don't need rov. Not sure what the machlokas is. This seems to be very, very mitzvah's focus. Just on Wednesday, figure it out. What happens to the flames when you light it? So I'm not sure what the machlokas is there. Okay, Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef learned in a brisa, Arba meduros ein srichim rov. There are four types of fuel that if you use those for your flames, they don't need have rov, because they are going to they're going to spread by themselves. Shel zefes, which I think is pitch. Shel gafris, which is sulfur. The girsa we have here is gvina, which doesn't make so much sense. The grotate changes the girsa to kira, which is wax. And shel revav, which seems to be some sort of fat. So these things, I guess, are very flammable, and therefore we're not concerned they're going to light very easily. B'masnisa tana, and in a brice, they learned af shel kash, some sort of hay, straw, v'shel givava. Givava is like some leftover of the wheat stalks. They don't have to, they're going to catch fire. You don't have to be worried that they catch rov before Shabbos. Amar of Yochanan, etzim shel bavel ain't srichin rov. The trees, if you use the wood from the trees in Bavel, they don't need rov because they're very flammable. So Maski Flor of Yosef, so Mahi, which Eitzim are you discussing? Which Eitzim from Bavel? Ilema Silti. If you're talking about stam regular trees that you cut them up into small pieces, Hashta Pitila Amar Ula Madlik Tsarikhi like Berov Hayotse Birov Hayotze Silta Mibai. Rav, apparently Ula says that if you're lighting on Erev Shabbos, you're lighting a wick. The wick itself has to have rov of the wick lit. So you're telling me that the tree itself doesn't have to have a rov lit? Of course it has to rov lit. So what is this tree that you're talking about? Ella Amar Yosef Shocha da Arza. It's like the branch of the cedar tree, which I guess is very dry, very thin, and there's apparently some woolly substance in between it. Right? That's what Rashi says. Shucha da arza. He says yaveshu is very dry, v'daka thin. V'yish kimin semer ben klipa le'etz. There's some sort of woolly substance between it and the tree. V'hu mav irom mishachsa ba'or, and that lights, and that's very flammable. And Rami bar Abba Amar, the tree that we're talking about is zaza. It's the zaza, and Rashi says mulsha, Maybe it means mulch or something like that. I'm not sure what that means. Some other substance that's extremely flammable, and therefore doesn't have the issue that you need to be concerned about whether or not it's going to stay lit on Erev Shabbos. We know it's going to stay lit on Erev Shabbos, so we don't have to. Not be concerned that it's going to light not light rope. Okay, so Hadron Alach Yitzias Shabbos, Hadron Alach Yitzias Shabbos, Hadron Alach Yitzias Shabbos. Now we start the second parak, which should be familiar to us, but since we haven't started in our shul, most people don't know what this is, but some people do say it. So, Bama Madlikin, second parak, Bama Madlikin. So, the Mishnah now, which is going to talk about, Mishnah split into two pieces. The Mishnah is going to talk about which wicks you should not use to light your candles on Erev Shabbos, meaning your Shabbos candles, and then it switches over as to which fuels you cannot use. First, the Gemara is going to explain what these things are, and only afterwards it's going to give the reasoning behind why these things shouldn't be used. So basically, for the next couple of minutes, we're just going to be dealing with definitions. So I'm going to read the Mishnah, and I'm not going to translate anything, really, because the Gemara is going to try to translate them, because these words are apparently were familiar to the Tanaim in Eretz Yisrael, but the terms weren't familiar necessarily to the Amoraim, so they spent time trying to describe and to define what these items are. So, Bamei Madlikin, these are wicks now. Bamei Madlikin, Bamei Madlikin. What can we light with and what can we not light with? Ei Madlikin, we cannot light lo b'lechesh, lo b'choshen, lo b'chalach, lo b'tilas ha'idon, lo b'tilas ha'midbar, v'lo b'yirokesh al p'nei amayim. Those things are wicks. Then it switches over to fuels. Lo b'zefes, v'lo b'shava, v'lo b'shemen kik, v'lo b'shemen sreifa, v'lo b'alya, v'lo b'chelev. Now with chelev, Nachem Amadi though says, Omer madlikin b'chelev mevushal, you can use cooked fat. V'chame omer me'echem mevushal, v'echash ein mevushal, whether it's cooked or not, ein madlikin bo. You cannot use to light it as the fuel. So the Gemara then is going to go through what are all these things. So, lechesh. What's lechesh? So it's shucha da'arza. So it's the shucha da'arza we just mentioned above. It's the branch from the cedar tree. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Luchash ba'arza, shucha da'arza eats ba'alma. It's wood. How would you use that for a wick? He says, no, it's be'imrisina de'ispa. It's what we mentioned before. It's this wool that's in between the bark. There's this little woolly substance. You can't use that. You can't use that as the wick. V'lo b'chosen. What's chosen? So Amar Rav Yosef, n'uro shel pishtan. The definition I found was the toe of flax. I don't know what that is. Some part of the flax. Amar le'avaye. Abaye says, v'hak siv ha'chosen l'n'uros. It says one thing, we're trying to define chosen. And the pasuk says chosen and ne'uros, which seems to indicate that chosen is one thing and ne'uros is something else. And you just define chosen as ne'uros. Right, it always does that. B'me tomim, b'me en tomim. The Mishnah does b'me yotzim, b'me, right, we talked about the first open, right? It's just the style of the Mishnah. We said it happens often. It's just a stylistic point. No, they start with b'me imalikim because they start with the thing that's closest to the end. Yeah, I mean, I get you. It's just the style that the Mishnah uses. B'me tomim, b'me tomim, b'me yotzim, b'me isha yotze, b'me isha inu yotze. They have all these different mishnayos that's how they do it. I hear you. Okay, so we're back now by the chosein, which Rav Yosef said was the ne'uro shel pishtan. And Abaye says it can't be ne'uro shel pishtan because the pasuk says chosein and ne'uros. So what are chosein? Ella amar Abaye, it's kitna didayik v'lo nafats. It's flax that was pounded but not combed yet. And then it says v'lo v'chalach, you can't use chalach, amar Shmuel, Sha'altinu l'chol nachute yamai. I asked all the sailors to tell me what this is. V'amri, and they said, it's kulcha. So it's some sort of wool that's on the stones in the Dead Sea, is what I saw, which is interesting because there are no sailors on the Dead Sea. I'm not sure. It's some type of woolen substance that comes up in the Dead Sea. V'amri kulcha shmei. Right, Rav Yitzhak Barziri Amar, it's gushgara. It's some silk or cotton, I don't know. Rabin Babai, they were have a Yasvi Kameh to Ravna Nechemya, right? They were sitting in front of Ravana Nechemya Nachmeh, Achved the Reish Galusa, who was the brother of the Reish Galusa, Chazi to have a lovish Mikasa. He was wearing this sort of silk garment. Amalei Ravin Labai, Ravin says to Abai, you see what he's wearing? Hainu Kalach. That's what kalach is. That's what kalach is. That's a type of substance that cannot be used. I know kalach tetnan. That's a type of substance that the Mishnah says can't be used as a wick. Amr le, anan shirya pardon karin le. So I call this, he says, I call this shira pardina. That's what I call it. So Gemara says, Mesvei, how can you call it shira? How can you call that shirya? Mesvei, which is some sort of silk. Mesvei hashirayin v'haklach v'hasirikin chayavim betzitzis. So you have shirayin is one thing and klach is another thing. So how can Abaye tell Ravin that he calls klach this shira if it's listed as two separate items? So the Gemara says either to Yufta, right? To Yufta might be a good question, or Ibayis Ema shira lechud v'shira pardon lechud. There's something called silk, called shira, and there's something else called shira pardina. It's a separate. It's a different substance. Okay. Below b'ptilas ha'idon, you can't use that. What's that? Achavine, it's willow. Okay. Ravin ba'avaye havika azu b'pakda de tamru raisa. They were traveling in the valley, in this valley of Tamru Raisa. Chazinu lahanu arbus. I have to change the aleph to an ayin here. They saw these willows. And amrle ravin labaye, Ravin says to Abayu, hainu idon ditnan. That's the Edon that we mentioned, the Pilisa Edon that we mentioned in our Mishnah. So Amarle, so Abai says back to him, Hahi eats Baalma. Willow is it's a tree. It's wood. What are you talking about? So Gemara says, no, hu kalaf, they peel it, the achvile amrinisa de benu bene. You peel it apart, and there's this woolly substance that's in between. Okay. The low bib tilas hamidbar, what's that? That's shavra. It's some sort of a tall weed. Right, it says not in the Yerokush apnei amayim. What's that? Mayhi, what is that? What's this thing, apnei amayim? Ilema uchma d'charitze, if you say it's some sort of algae that comes on the top of the water, ifrichu mifarchan, it just crumbles. So that can't be it. Ela amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, it's uchmasa d'arba. It's this algae that settles on the bottom of the boats. So I get these barnacles, I guess, the stuff that comes onto the bottoms of the boats that can be used as some sort of wick, right? Uchmasa de arba tana hosifo aleihem shel tzemer. A brisa added to the list wool v'shel seyar and hair. So why did our tana says v'tani don tzemer michvatz kvayitz sayir ruche michrach? Our tana says he doesn't need to add wool or hair, because those things don't light well. They shrink when they don't burn, or they singe and they don't burn. So the others, he's not concerned that you're going to use your wicks with that, because those are things that don't get lit, don't light. And now the Mishnah switches over to certain fuels. So what is that? So lo bezefes, you can't use as your fuel the zefes, which is zifta, which is pitch, shava, which right it said lo bezefes, lo beshava. Shava is wax. That comes to do with our candles. You can't use wax. What does that mean? Right? Tana adkan. So then they said, Tana adkan pasol pesilos. Up to this point, they were talking about wicks. Mikan de elech pasol shemonim. Now they're talking about fuel, about oil that you can't use. So the Gemara says, no, pshita. That's obvious, because you look at the list. First we're dealing with wicks, then we're dealing with fuels. So the Gemara says, no, shava itzrichle. We needed to explain that because of wax. Because mao de tema lipsilos nami lochazia, you might have thought that you couldn't use wax for wicks either. Kamash milan, that it's only for fuel, but you can use it for the wicks. So amar rami bar avin, itrana, this thing called itron, is psulusa de zifsa. It's the residue of the pitch. And shava is psulusa de dufsha. And this wax is talking about honey wax. Psulusa de dufsha. So why am I asking me? Why are you giving us these definitions? Give us the definitions. The mekach omekar, to know that somebody wants to buy shava and they should give them this from shava means from the honey, and if you want to buy itrana, it means from pitch. Okay, again, sorry, this is just the definitions to go through. I think tomorrow we'll pick up a little more as to what the reasoning is and to more details about what you can light with and what you cannot light with. All right. Have a good day, everyone.